السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. We're continuing our discussion about the different ways Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached individuals to teach them. And yesterday we discussed how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach Sharia in stages, so it made it easier for people to follow. And we mentioned how if somebody is new to Islam, or somebody wants to turn back to Islam, or I go a step further, as I say, every year in Ramadan, we try to use Ramadan as an opportunity to better ourselves, fulfill a sunnah we do not currently fulfill, that use Ramadan and then the next Ramadan to build on that. So again, in stages. So it's not just about learning, because I know we've been talking about teaching and learning. It's also about our personal practical implementation as well, that we try to find different aspects of Sharia that we may be deficient in, and we try to practice them in stages and get better and better at it. Another method that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted, and I bet you many of you would say we need to practice on this sunnah starting from today, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it a point that he would not give a lecture every single day. I say this because somebody asked me to make my bayan very short today. So you know, this all happens from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he mentions it today to me. Maybe I practice on it, I say this is khalas. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one day, some of his students, they came by and they were waiting outside his door for their teacher to come out. And they were waiting and waiting, and somebody came out the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, I believe the name may have been Yazid, don't quote me on the name. The person came out and the students that were sitting there said, can you inform Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that we are waiting for him? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu originally wasn't coming out, meaning it was the original timing that he had and he didn't come out. So when he was informed that they were waiting for him, he came out and he said, I wasn't planning on teaching you today. And this is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do the same with us. He would not always give us a lecture. He would do it some days and not do it some days. Some days he would do it for a few days and then not do it for a few days. Why? Because the most important thing when teaching people or teaching anyone is that you don't want to lose their attention. When people first start, and it's just like our Ramadan. Ramadan first came, I bet you for the first few days, nobody felt how long this lecture was. Now every day you feel every second, let alone every minute. Because when you first started, now it's Ramadan, so we gotta bear in mind the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I could go on and proving my reason for why we do this every day, but I won't get into it, I'm sure you believe me. So, you know, you start to feel it. So the idea here is you don't want the student or the students or the person you're trying to teach to get tired and bored. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to space it out. That's why when I give my lectures outside of Ramadan, some weeks I just say, it's okay, I won't this week I won't come, next week I'll come. It has nothing to do with me being busy, but it's just, you know, I don't want you all to get bored. So this is another method, inshallah, that we should be mindful of when we're trying to teach others, not to give too much information right away and have too many sessions right away, have it spaced out so that the student and the person you're trying to teach can absorb that information. I would leave it here, but you know, I have set a time that I tried to hit and I have 5 more minutes, so I will continue saying it, inshallah. We'll benefit from it. Another method that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to adopt, and this is very important, it's actually a very serious subject. It's serious because there's two aspects to it. And that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the greatest qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the greatest quality of a teacher in general is his ability to gauge the student and the person he's speaking to. And it's not always teacher to student, as I always say. Take it from parent to child. Not every child is the same. Your first child may have excelled in something, and you kind of got accustomed to and spoiled by that first child, right? They learned quickly, they adopted quickly, they're well-mannered. And then the next child comes and you sit there and think, well, this is easy, you know, I know all the pitfalls, I'm going to be better with the next child, and the next child, subhanAllah, is like nothing like the first. And so you sit here and think that if you're trying to adopt the same manner in trying to teach the second child that you did with the first, that you'll have the same results, but you won't. I can tell you, I have three children, they're all different. Many of us here have different children, they're all different. My father can attest to the fact that all his three sons are different. And he has to approach us differently. And so that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a master at. He was a master at approaching people according to their intellect. So one aspect of this is when you teach someone, you address the answer according to that person's intelligence, according to how that person is. So I'll give you some examples of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this actually is the gist of how these scholars explain that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on many occasions the question is asked, what's the best deed? What's the best deed? What's the best thing I can do? And you find hundreds of ahadith, yet you find hundreds of different answers. So now, person who may look at it from the apparent might be like, this looks like there's so many contradictions here. On one occasion he says this, on one occasion he says that, on one occasion he says this. So on one occasion some companion comes to him and says, you know, can I go out on jihad? And we know the virtue of jihad, especially in that era. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to this specific individual, he said, are your parents alive? Are they alive? He said, yeah, both my parents are alive. He said, good, go serve them, that's your jihad. You're talking about an era where they were having to defend themselves, right? This was an era in a hostile environment, and yet for this companion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say to go out. He told him, go serve your parents. So we find many narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking to people, giving them different responses. So one of the most important things is that when you teach someone, you must understand their level of intellect, their intelligence. You must understand that. You must learn how to approach each individual differently. It's very, very hard. As the many years I have been teaching, there's always a student that's so different than the rest. And you have to teach them differently. You have to say things differently. So one of the things that's very important when talking, especially when I'm talking about our children, I know I keep saying teacher, student, and that's the relevant subject, but the idea here is your own children. Because I really want us to understand, how do you touch the heart of your child? It's by approaching each child differently. And it's important that we understand that. So inshallah, that's the main thing I want to point out. The second thing I want to point out is there are many ahadiths in which, and the second thing, this is the last thing I'll do inshallah, I'll make it short. And that is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one occasion, he had Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and they were on a camel, and Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was behind him, and he says, oh Mu'adh, labbaik, wa sa'adayk ya Rasulullah. You know, I'm here, may you be pleased, I'm here. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Mu'adh, and again, this is again the habit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wants to tell you something very important. So what does he do? He calls you out three times to get your attention. Oh Mu'adh, labbaik. وَسَعْدَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ O Mu'adh, لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ I'm here, I'm listening. Now I have your attention, right? I have your attention, I have everybody's attention now, right? So he says, should I tell you something? That if a person does, that the fire of Jahannam will be haram on this individual. And that is, an individual that says, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صِدْقًا فِي الْقَلْبِ Sidqan fil qalb, like his heart is sincerity within his heart when he says it, then the fire of Jahannam will be haram on this individual. No, in this hadith, no action is mentioned. No amal. Simply saying ashhadu an la ilaha illallah and be genuine in it is enough to protect you from Jahannam. So, Abdullah ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I not then tell everyone this hadith, this narration of yours, this statement of yours, so then everybody will rejoice? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't tell him. Don't tell him. He says, if you tell people, they'll rely just on these words from the apparent, and they'll think that's enough. And that's it. They heard a hadith, the Prophet said, saying, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluh, is enough, and that's it. We don't have to do anything. So don't tell people. So then the question comes is, how do we get this narration? So two aspects. Number one, it says at the end of the narration that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he was about to die, he narrated this hadith. Because there's also another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, whoever conceals knowledge, then that person will be punished on the day of Qiyamah, okay? So he felt that he was afraid, if he did not narrate it, he would have concealed knowledge. But the point I want to highlight from this hadith, which is the most relevant thing, I said, speak to people based on their intelligence. You can find narrations of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, Umar radiallahu anh, Ali radiallahu anh, Tabi'een, Tabi'een, and many scholars. And there's one thing that's very important, why I'm stressing this fact. And that is, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh says, you should not narrate every hadith to everyone. Why am I trying to say this? Some people might not like what I'm saying. Why am I saying this? He said, you should not narrate every hadith to everyone. Because if you narrate every hadith to every single individual, they'll turn away from the deen. Very important why I'm saying this. To the such a point that today, we have so much information readily available. People think we have so much information. We are at the height of knowledge. You know all we have today is ignorance, zulm upon zulm. Because you know every person does. They just go to Google, they find a hadith, and they start quoting it without actually having genuine understanding of the hadith. So, part of teaching is that you also are selective in who you say, what you say to them. And who do you say, what do you say to, whoever you're saying something to. What you say to them, you have to be selective of what you're trying to teach them. So on an Islamic level, we're talking about narrating hadith and stuff. But on a very practical level, when it comes to your children, you can't give a deep explanation to your child for why they have to do this and why they have to do that. Their child's intelligence isn't there to understand that. So obviously to the child, you give an answer according to the child's intellect. Likewise, when you're teaching someone, you give an answer according to their intellect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice on this. Ameen.